Okay, so we're holding here in the pasuk in Parashat Beis Vav and Hazinu, Al Hashem Tigmuluzos Amnov Lo Chacham, Halahu Avicha Konecha, Was Chavei Konecha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called your father, Konecha. Konecha sounds something like the one who owns you, bought you, like Lashon Kinyan. What exactly do we mean when we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Konecha Shalom Varetz, Kona, and so on. So, Halashem Tikuzos, the Sforno says, Achi Shekivin Lesitchem, Mamlechas Kanim, Amnon Roy Shetimuzos, Shetekalkum, Huvenos Halashem Kotchoi, Lunoshasik Tachlis, Shekivin, Vomenasad Lemetsavin, and Husainu. After Kosh Baruch has designated you as a nation of Kohanim, is it appropriate that you don't live up to what you're supposed to? Am Novel, your Bozui, your Kafu Tov, and so on. Now he says, Halo hu avicha konecha, we're skipping a line. Lo av tivi hanoisim mitzius ma v'mikra. Avul av ritzoini shenoschal mitzius antia kinyonai. Muchon las bochefzus kolosai. So the Sforno says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called konecha because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to a father, who in one sense, biologically, is most firmly your father, and it's something that's very essential. But on the other hand, you can't say that this is what he wanted and had in mind specifically. It's not as if it's a very clear rotzen focused on what is. Rather, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us. You know, konecha, kinyan, implies a very, very specific desire for something very specific. You go and you buy something. When apples grow in your yard, they grew as they grew. When you go out and acquire something, it means there's an exact purpose in mind when you're acquiring something. So therefore, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't happen to bring you in this world. He brought you into this world to be his kinyan and to fulfill the purpose that he sets for you. That's how the Sfarno learns that pshat. He gave you all of the prerequisites needed to become an Am Skula. So according to Sfarno, this whole pasuk goes around this fundamental point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us to be the nation that can actually fulfill that destiny of being Amlechas Kohanim, of being the Nasa Adam Mitzalmenik and Musainu in its most perfect form. And therefore, since that's specifically our purpose, any time we violate it, we're sort of violating the core reason why we're brought into this world. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says, what's the Avicha Konecha, next piece? Vam alo Avicha Konecha, Kloima, she somcha kinyan, He made you a kinyan. How so? Because he created you from nothing, and everything that exists is a kinyan. So the says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a it's called our koine because he brought us into this world, Yeshmai. What exactly does he mean? What's he referring to? I once heard an explanation similar, to a similar point, I think is appropriate here. Reb Chaim Brisker asks by when a person, he makes the following point. When something grows in my land, when something comes from my land, you own it automatically. If a person does some act, he sows wheat. So if it's in a place that is Hefka, he would own it. If it's somebody else's field, the priority is the person whose field it is because it's really rooted in someone else's work. But what a person did and what he accomplished is his be'etzim. In halacha, a cotton if he works and does something, creates something, it's his. He doesn't need a kinyan. In other words, the most fundamental kinyan is the thing that you produced. Kana is this part of the hand. It's called a kana. In other words, in a certain sense, it's an extension of me. I belong to myself. My labor belongs to myself. And therefore, my labor is inherent to me in anything. So if I produced wheat by sowing a field, that's hefka, it's mine automatically. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings into being yesh me'ayin, those things are his automatically. In Bereishis Rabbah, there's an explanation of the word kone in the sense of getting, acquiring from someone else, which is the Chomer Rishon. And Makras Kasa will say Lech Lechon. That's a much more deeper philosophical point about some Chomer Rishon. Now, so that explains the word konecha. What's the word avicha? In what sense of Kadosh Baruch Hu, our father? V'nikra Kadosh Baruch Hu avinu klapei nefesh, ki hu hoylido v'nofcha b'apeinu, ki shem shenikra moylid av klapei guf shehoylid oisai. Being that the Torah describes the act of creating man as a Kadosh Baruch Hu breathing, not only making us, but breathing life in us. So just like a child is something that comes from your very inside and then forms outside, but the core of it, the seed of it is inside. So the Vayiba Bapov means the divine essence is we're a product of that divine essence, the way a child would be the product of a father's inner core. So it's a certain bond which, since we're comparing our Kadosh Baruch Hu to human, we need to compare the various results of it. It means that we reflect values that are as core to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the characteristics of a child is to the father, just like the parents by extension, just like a child expresses the core he expresses the core characteristics of his father's because he is of his. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a chelik al kai mimal, it means we express core characteristics that are defined as divine, klapei chutz. Okay, the next one is an akeda. Why is it called a father? What the Torah is trying to describe is how Kadosh Baruch Hu was our father. So the Akeda says the following explanation of what it means he's our father. A person controls and directs many, many things. The vast majority, they can be sort of arrayed in a tree where you start with a certain central point and then you have supporting and supporter support and supporter support and support. So let's give an example. This is somebody's running for president. We're now in the middle of, I guess it's always middle of a primary because it's primary starts 3 years before. You're always in the middle of a primary. So somebody gets Jack to be on his team. The reason he wants Jack to be on the team is because he wants Jack to pull Tom into it. The reason why he wants Tom is because Tom controls someone else's estate that has a lot of money. And that in turn is able to influence certain key people and so on and so on and so forth. And there's this huge pyramid of A leading to B to C to D and so on and so forth. But at some point, his becoming president is what he wanted. A person for his children wants everything. That's his core desire, is that the children have, that he gives the most. Everything else, so he builds a business, so his hat, he invests in certain places so that the kids have and so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us is the Av, in the sense that we form the core purpose and goal of everything else is around us. So there's Hashgacha to many other items, to many other nations and peoples and so on, directing them and leading them, but it all is with the goal of making Kol Yisrael as firm as a chance as they could be. And he brings the Akedah of a famous one, Sanhedrin, where when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was ill, each one of the Tanoim said something about him, about how important he is to them, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, "You're like a father," the Kol Yisrael. So, meaning same thing, that you give us very direct attention, and you bring out the best in us, and so on. Okay, the next piece is Sfarnu, and he speaks about the general structure of what Hazinu is. Now, Hazinu is a fascinating Shira. It's a Shira that, of all the places in Torah, the only place that you find a Masoris of Gemara where you must stop at certain places. In all of Torah, you when you give Aliyahs, you pretty much have freedom to give as you wish. It can't be within three psukim of a samach or a pay. You can either stop at the samach or a pay or three psukim. You need to, it's a minute not to stop at a davara, and you try to make the aliyahs as even as possible and so on. But by and large, there are no real dictates as to where to put aliyahs. Hazinu, there's a very clear kpeda. It's called haziv loch. These are the places where you give the aliyahs and break it up. So there's some sort of structure. And also, as opposed to other shiras are a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about a wonderful thing he did, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Be'er, etc. Fine. There's no real overall structure except for Divei Shevach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hazinu is meant to be sort of a guide for the life of Kol Yisrael. It's supposed to encompass past and present and future. So the Sfarno says, Tzchoy Marcelo, Achei Shehishtem HaKdamas Ashira, Asher Bo Hidia HaMechuv Mimenu, the Akdama is, I want to tell you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, Hatsur Tam Pa'oloi, and there's no Avel, and so on. So now he says, okay, let me show this principle through the Doros. First of all, he's trying to say how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring out this tachlis. When that didn't work, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them to high madrigas. He gave them a place where they could worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu freely and happily. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to the highest Madrega in Har Sinai, gave us a place where we could sit with Eved Hashem, and so on. Shlishis. Third of all, they fell into Rishayim. Revius, Hoidia Siba, Asha Biglolo Tilim Gula Barchas Hayamim. He then explained to them what will trigger the Gula. Hamishi, he told them about the Gula, and so on. Behem Chalkev Ashazina Shazokhazal, Venosim Simon Mazibla. So Chazal gave us a very, very clear pattern of how the process will be. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Kehel Emunah and so on, and there's no Avel and it's Mishpat, has shown itself through the Doiris, and therefore here is I'm going to lay it out and so on. One more piece, we'll see the arcade over here. On it, the Yitochen Shemis Khan El Arba Mina Moifis, a Rishonim, a Yud Gimel Shazach HaChochem V'Yigoyen, Shemekoichem V'Yisbar, that means called Orphinyan. So he says, in this Pasuk, it says, Chorim Osolom, Binush Nostavado, Shavir Getros Kenach V'Yimcha. So the arcade is zeroing in, it says, if you want to know that it's true, what I told you, remember what happened. Think about each generation. Ask your father; he'll tell you. The elders will tell it to you. What's four things? Like, it just seems repetitious. Our first source for what's true is what we sense with our senses. So if I bang my hand down and I feel a firm thing there, I will tell you there's a table here. And there's no way to convince you there is no table because my senses tell me there is a table. So your senses, Zechori Marcelo means remember the things that you witnessed. There's nothing more concrete than what was, which tells us that the world came into being. One. While a muskolos arishin, a muskolos arishin means axioms. You know, look at the pattern of generation to generation. Vizeh, what does that mean? Ki muskol rishon hu shakol gadol machelek. It is an axiom that the whole is greater than the part. Vim yonicho olam akadmen, and if you'll try to think that the world is forever, it's not God created. So you will end up claiming that the part equals the whole. Because a part of infinity is also infinity. So this is a very, very philosophical. This is a very, very philosophical argument about that if time is endless, then any piece of it is endless as well, because there's no difference between the part and the whole. You can't have an infinite thing. It's a type of logic that we're not comfortable with these type of things today, but this was a secondary, and I'm sure we could translate it in a way that would be comfortable with us today. Next, vala mukubolos oma shalavicha v'yageidcha. Mukubolos means a tradition that's been carried on for a long time is something that we should take stock in. Something that today also we don't have, people tend not to believe anything that's come down, but it is something that one, you know, things that people do believe George Washington was the first president. Nobody runs to look up the original documents. For Samos, which is very similar. For Samos means things that everyone knows has a validity. Yes, there are Snope has, it shows all the things that people believe to be true, but they're not true. But by and large, it's something that you need to take into account. So the Arcade in his way understands this to mean that each and every aspect of it will lead to it. You know, not everything that he said is something we can relate to, but I do want to say it's important when people speak about Emuna, for instance. So what's your proof? So people try to find a proof, or they try to find a certain type of proof. And it's not right. Let's give an example. If a person is trying to hire somebody for an important job, so you test his skills. So if a guy needs to be to work on some complex program, you test it. You look at his resume, where he's been before. You ask people how he performed, and you talk to him in an interview. And each one of these is a different type of test, and each one of them gives information. When we talk about Emuna, if proof has to come down to like finding God's hair on a carpet someplace, like Sherlock Holmes, that's silly. It's not going to work. It doesn't happen, and so on. But if you have many, many pieces of the puzzle, and they complement each other, Klal Yisrael's history, the fact that there is no, you know, that all religions seem to have blossomed out of Yiddishkeit. The tradition we have, the logical arguments, it's a personal feelings a person has. That's a package, and truth in life is usually determined more by a package of investigations rather than a particular proof. So we can take away from the Akeda the general sense that things are a general sense of something, and from the Torah is telling you in Hazina, whichever avenue you take, it will help lead you back to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe let's see one more piece here. There's a little small Rambam. There's a pasuk here that really, really talks about the root of a lot of the problems. It says, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot. Klal Yisrael became fat and it rebelled. Shemanta, you became fat, Afisa, you became heavy. Kasisa, Vayivita, Shaloi Hayasahu, you neglected, you turned away from the God that made you, Vayinabal Tzoshuasa. This is unfortunately a normal phenomenon. As a person becomes successful, instead of becoming more grateful, many times he becomes much more haughty, arrogant, rejects where he came from, and so on. So the Rambam says, when we speak to a ger, and we tell him, we try to discourage him from joining Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael has a tough life. But Omerle, we tell him, have a yodea, sha'olam haba netzav on tzadikim. Olam haba is only for tzadikim. Ve'im Yisrael, which is Klal Yisrael. V'zeh she'tir Yisrael b'tzav olam hazeh. And that you see Klal Yisrael is suffering. Toivitz von olahem. There's a good that's hidden in it. They can't accept too much good. Because they could become haughty and begun to wander and lose the Shalom Haba. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't either bring, he doesn't bring punishment in with such intensity as Shalom, the Kaiser gets lost. But there's always difficulties, because that's the only way that people will not